Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Podnuts Pro. I am your host, Marvin B. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for downloading and subscribing to the show. Podnuts Pro is a show basically for solo techs, managed service providers, computer repair shops, anybody that supports business IT. And we try to do everything from promoting products to telling stories and sharing tips. And if you're a smarty tech, you would have realized that that is PST, which I know many of us try not to use, but I thought that was a catchy little phrase that I would start using. So Podnuts Pro, the PST show. And for those of you that are probably wondering, there's no video with this because this is basically our old school podcast format. We are not live on Facebook or the YouTube. So you probably saw this in your podcatcher and realized, oh, a new show. And yes, here we are. And our show today is basically going to be visited by an old company friend of ours, but a new name and a new face. As many of you know, we had Dave Sobel on for many years as our SolarWinds representative, but now we have someone new, and his name is Colin Knotts. Colin, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. So many people are going to recognize your name because you have actually been around for a while.
Yeah, it's been, we are going on, we're about 16 years, I think, in the channel now.
Okay.
Between being on the MSP side and then being on the vendor side. So
right.
Good period of time.
Well, let's dig back a little bit into your history because you actually started out on this side of the fence, if I'm not mistaken, right? You were working for some MSPs?
Yeah, absolutely. I worked for a couple MSPs and eventually figured that I could do it better than they could and decided to start my own MSP up. So I did that for a period of time, was very fortunate that some of the ideas I had worked really well, and some of the ideas I had didn't work so well, but we were able to grow rather quickly. In 5 short years, we got to $4 million in annual revenue on a managed service model. And during the time as we were growing that company, identified a key need within our business that hadn't really seemingly been solved yet for the MSP or the IT channel. So founded Passportal inside of that MSP, and back in 2014, I left the MSP, still owned it, and hired a new president to do that stuff and kind of turned my focus full on to Passportal. Sold the MSP in 2016 to a large, expansive MSP up here in Canada, F12.net, actually ended up hiring them as our MSP at Passportal.
Oh, okay.
And then just kept going on with Passportal. We grew that, saw a lot of success, a ton of just amazing support from partners around the world, and ended up getting acquired last year in April by SolarWinds.
I do remember Passportal, not that it's gone, but I do remember myself looking at it probably a few years ago till I decided on another company, and they got swallowed up, and I'm still using them, but we're not going to talk about them today.
Okay.
So you were at SolarWinds. Now, basically, what changed for you? Because Passportal basically got absorbed into SolarWinds. And I don't know the M&A merger talk and all that stuff, but somehow it works. Yeah. And now you're there. So what changed for you when you came on board the mothership?
Yeah, so we operated a little bit independently for a little period of time there. And the more we got to know some of the things about how SolarWinds operated and the expansive scale of what SolarWinds had to offer, we slowly began to integrate various functions of the business. So I spent probably about 6 months working very closely with all the functional leaders, both within in Passportal and then within SolarWinds, to integrate those functions one by one into the business, to make it as seamless as possible for the Passportal partner base, the legacy partner base. And upon completing that, I did some product strategy work with SolarWinds across the greater product suite, which I still continue to do some of that with our group vice president of product, and then have pivoted now into community engagement and partner experience. So I head up that function now for SolarWinds MSP, where it's all about engaging with our community, kind of being their advocate within the executive team here, and really driving and fostering as excellent a partner experience as can be had for those partners, and doing a whole bunch of industry outreach. So,
all right. And I have seen you doing that outreach. I've seen some of your webinars that you've put out and a couple of other podcasts and video blogs that you've done with some other people in the community. So you are out and about. So
we are.
So the title is Head of Community Engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And is that pretty much being as immersed in the MSP world as possible?
Yeah, I mean, one of the, I guess, somewhat what used to be a unique thing about me in the industry was that I had sat in every seat in an MSP, from being a bench tech early on to being a projects analyst, a managed service technician, and then owning my own. I did everything for a while, from marketing and sales and, you know, inside sales, procurement, quoting and tech support and everything else. And then kind of bringing that knowledge into the vendor world and into SolarWinds now, so that we make sure we're keenly in tune with what the world's like now. It's been a few years since I was inside the operations of the MSP, so fortunate to have a lot of friends and colleagues in the space still and be able to engage with them and get, you know, an in-depth insight and look into what's happening in their lives, what their world looks like right now, and kind of translate that into how a company like SolarWinds can make investments and use our scale to help them and support them.
All right. Now, at the beginning of our lovely COVID period that we are in right now, I reached out to several of the vendors and just had them talk about, you know, their response during this time. And I did not actually speak to anybody at SolarWinds. I don't remember exactly what happened, but let me just ask you, how are things there at SolarWinds and also for you personally during COVID?
Yeah. You know, it's, I guess you lost our phone number for a bit, but it's all good. We've been busy. We've been busy. You know what? Like, COVID's been a real thing. It's a global pandemic. But we're fortunate with the organization that we're a part of here. You know, it's been sad to see a lot of colleagues and even friends in the space that have really struggled in their businesses, other friends on the vendor side who have unfortunately lost their jobs as parts of layoffs. Something that's been great about SolarWinds was our CEO's commitment to not doing layoffs and keeping people. And we had the financial stability to be able to do that and even invest further to help support and enable our partners along the way. So internally, we've been busy doing a lot. We put together a central COVID-19 resource hub where we brought together a whole bunch of industry experts and consultants to provide advice and guidance across, you know, operational strategies, revenue preservation tactics, you know, customer experience and maximizing your value during periods like this, and really kind of coaching and ushering along those types of things, as well as helping arrange and guide people through financial assistance programs and stuff like that. So we've been really busy. I mean, there's been some downturn in the overall economy, but we're fortunate to see that, you know, our partners are holding on and staying strong. And we hosted one of our all partners meetings just a few weeks ago for all of our partners. And one thing that our president on the MSP side, you know, said that just plays over and over my head is that while a lot of MSPs may be small, that you can't confuse small with weak. It's a tenacious bunch of people. They're very dedicated and determined. And, you know, a lot of people are really pushing through and doing well with this. And we kind of stand here, continue to do what we can to support.
All right. Now, you yourself, I know you're from Canada. Are you still in Canada?
I am still in the friendly white north.
All right. And how are things up there? And because I'm in, you know, Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've seen on the news, you know.
you guys have been having a few cases. We're good. I mean, we're in, I guess, our phase two for kind of where we're at. So, I mean, a lot of restaurants and bars are open at half capacity. People are getting more out and about, things like that. We've got cases that are going back up again, but nothing like what you guys are seeing in
come on. We're Florida, right? We're like, Florida, man. You can't compete with us.
You guys are taking the cake, but I don't know if that's a thing to be proud of right now.
No, it's not.
I told somebody else, one of my friends, that, you know, they forgot that this pandemic is scored kind of like golf. You want the lower score, right? You want the lower number of cases. But no, I mean, it's still a thing here for us too. And we're trying to be mindful of it as we go out and about, but you know, it's, you do what you can. And we're fortunate that we've got a fairly small population compared to most of the US. And you know, we're seeing that kind of, you know, lower case volume as a result.
All right. So it sounds like SolarWinds, like many other companies, have had to make a little pivot, a little change, and as a result have learned a little bit about themselves. I know that I've learned about my business that, you know, still doing good and haven't had to worry about anything. So I guess from a vendor perspective and from somebody that, you know, I purchase services from, what has SolarWinds learned about doing business during this time?
So we learned that we're very well positioned with a few of our products, but they became absolutely just indispensable for what the MSPs are doing. I mean, in a world that switched to remote operations, you know, having remote monitoring and management tools, having remote control tools, being in a position where we could give some of those tools away for free for our partners or give them additional licensing to it to help them and help them be able to do what they needed to do was really good. I mean, I think the number one thing we learned is, and we had already clued in on it a bit, but was really emphasized here was how pivotal the partnership aspect of these relationships are. It's not just about selling products and pushing, you know, additional licenses through to a customer. All of the MSPs that deal with us truly are partners. And so we've recognized the need for us to be providing, you know, more partner enablement, more partner support, empowerment, you know, giving as many tools and resources and know-how and advice and counsel as we absolutely can. And I think that's a lot of what's really been driving us all through this this period here.
All right. And I don't know how much interaction you would have had, but I know that one of the things that I had to do for customers that weren't already set up with remote access or a VPN or something, you know, like that with the terminal server, there were a few of my customers where I actually gave them remote access through the SolarWinds dashboard.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I had not done that before, and the first time I set it up, it was a little tricky for me. Did you have a lot of, you know, partners calling in saying, hey, we want to be able to do this, and what's the best way and quickest way?
Yeah, we had a few, and as you know, we saw things going to work from home, our take control tool was one of the ones where we kind of said, hey, like, we'll start this off at free for 90 days, jump on and be able to use it and support your clients, whether it's them remoting into their machines at work or you even remoting into their home machines that they're being forced to use right now. And so we did that and our engineering team pivoted on a few things to make sure that they could make it a little bit easier. And then I hosted a bunch of webinars with our head nerds and we put on some tutorials on how to set stuff up like that. and the usage of those tools just went through the roof, really, which was kind of crazy to see, but really happy that we were able to get that out there and help people with it. And, you know, we were kind of in that shock situation that everybody else was in, so we kind of tried to act as quick as possible and stitch some things together and make it as usable as we could for everybody.
All right. So you mentioned one thing, and I want to pivot and go to your response in putting together the COVID-19 page.
Yep.
And I will have a link to that in the show notes, but basically it's solarwindsmsp.com/COVID-19-resources. And on there is basically, I don't know, it looks like your whole training regimen is on there. Videos, webinars, blog posts, everything.
Yeah, that, and all of that content was done just in response to COVID. So you say that that looks like everything. We still have our whole MSP Institute with all the business and sales and marketing and all that training and know-how in there. But this you know, we pulled together a very strong team and worked really diligently to get as much stuff possible as possible for everybody. So, yeah, we pulled almost everything possible that you could think of out there to help people get through and give them the advice and assurance and support.
Yep. I'm looking at the, there's the working from home series. There's the operational priorities for MSPs, which was a webinar you did, as well as, you did one on the CARES Act too.
We did. Yeah. We hired a consultant that went in and navigated the entire CARES Act, the whole application process, the do's and don'ts, the things to consider. And then, so we did a webinar on walking all of that through. Then we put together a bit of a white paper for people to help them navigate that. And then a video tutorial guiding them through the whole application process as well.
All right. Sounds interesting. So I'll once again have that link in the show notes, everyone that is listening. So I guess now the question is, you know, do you see trends or things that are going to become, you know, permanently changed after COVID-19?
Yeah, I mean, I think and the entire world has seen the acceleration of digital transformation for business and the need to do things remotely and, you know, a lot less tactile, a lot more digital, a lot more collaboration and focus on that. So I think, like we had seen a gradual evolution of MSPs becoming more the business advisors and technology advisors instead of the, you know, doers and task rabbits and stuff, I think that's going to continue to accelerate and almost further cement and solidify the need for MSPs as a partner. You know, I think with all of this rush that everybody had in moving to work from home, you know, we've been very successful as MSPs over the last 10 plus years selling backup solutions and BDR and reframing that as business continuity solutions. And the funny thing about that is it was business continuity in the face of a disaster or data destruction, but it wasn't true business continuity. Which comes into the ability for a business to continue operating in the event of any unforeseen circumstance. And in this case, the unforeseen circumstances, you couldn't be together in close proximity and you couldn't go into the office and work there anymore. So recognizing that, I mean, again, I ran an MSP and in Alberta, Western Canada, where we are, there's not a lot of natural disasters. Like, we don't get hurricanes, tornadoes are few and far between, right? And so trying to sell BDR solutions back then was very difficult. And the second that we had a massive flood come into our downtown, center, city center here, which almost took all the businesses offline, that's when our sales of BDR went through the roof, right? And I think this is going to be the same thing. And like anything, a crisis or a disaster can breed opportunity. And I think this is where MSPs can position themselves, and they were able to, in some cases, band-aid or hodgepodge together a solution for people to be able to work successfully from home. It may not be the most effective or efficient solution still, so there's a lot of opportunity now to consult around and put in place and implement actual true business continuity solutions for whether it's remote access, anywhere, you know, solutions, different SaaS applications and collaboration tools that can be leveraged and used ongoing. And I think it helps them move away from that pricing conversation into that value proposition. So I see it opportunistic for a lot of MSPs. And I think the major change that's going to happen is, you know, a lot more flexibility for remote work, a lot more focus on overall business continuity, not just on data recovery. Overall kind of that business technology advisory.
Okay. You just mentioned something about price-based versus value-based. And I remember watching you on, I can't remember if it was one of the webinars or one of the other video blogs, but that was a big thing in terms mm-hmm. of getting not just customers, but even MSPs and computer shops to realize that they shouldn't base their prices, you know, on just the price alone, that you've got to show value in that. And it was weird. I know that a lot of my customers, you know, most of them, I didn't have a huge issue in, you know, getting them to understand my pricing structure. You know, mm-hmm. some of the larger ones were like, well, we've got to be able to cut, you know, costs somewhere.
Yeah.
But giving them the option of, okay, if we cut costs, that means you're going to lose this.
Yeah.
And what is it, you know, and I forget the way I phrased it to them, but it was great when I could say, you know, what is it going to cost you not to have this? You know, if you've got X number of attorneys that can't bill, you know, for 24 hours, what does that mean to you?
Yeah, so I'm huge on value versus price. I mean, the second that you're in a price conversation on a sale, you're losing. You are not going to win in it. Even if you win the deal, you're not winning because right. you had to cheapen or discount your price and you're not going to be as successful on that as you could be. So I'm a big proponent of doing kind of outcome-based conversations because an outcome that you can drive and actually substantiate proves value. And when you're having a value conversation with somebody, price becomes the less obvious. You need to show that it's an apples to oranges comparison versus the incumbent or person or team that they're using today versus what the experience and everything would be like with you as a service provider. So the beautiful thing about that is you can, as you fine tune what your outcomes are that you can drive and impact the most and what that return looks like, you can charge significant amounts more. And the nice thing about that is when I was running my MSP, we were extremely profitable. We had a really great operation going when the recession hit full hard. We're in an oil and gas economy where we live. So when the cost of oil nosedived back early to mid 2014, we had clients that were all coming to us asking to negotiate contracts down and do things like that. And we did that. And even though we did that and our revenue growth wasn't what we anticipated it to be over all that year, we grew our profit almost doubled because we were still able to bring clients on more profitable and we had enough buffer and profitability in our contracts with how we operated and selling on key value that was very discernible to our clients that even when we did a 20% drop in their contracts for a temporary period of time, we still did very well. So it's a protective kind of buffer and margin that you give yourself right there. And when times are good, it's even better. And you can use that to build up your war chest to help you sustain longer or invest when, you know, times are bad, because a time like this is when you can really be investing in marketing. Now, you can't be tone deaf in your marketing given what the situation is, right. but the companies that, you know, double down on those investments in a period like this come out a lot stronger because they've had the ear of and the eyes of all of the prospects during that whole period of time.
Okay. So I don't know if I'm allowed to ask this question, so let me try to frame what I'm going to ask, and you can tell me yes or no. So, you know, I pay attention to the forums and the groups on the Facebook, and I know that when COVID came, a lot of IT providers were immediately looking at reducing costs because they felt that their customers were going to come to them and say, well, you know, if we can't work or if we have to downsize, can we get a cost reduction? It was interesting to me. Now, I almost had that conversation with one client, but it didn't go any further. They just asked, you know, well, I need to get PPP money, and if I have to get that, then, but didn't happen. So didn't lower any costs, didn't change any services, and, you know, knock on wood, knock on whatever luck I have, I hope it stays that way. But I know that a lot of, you know, other providers were looking to make those changes. I mean, did they come to you guys and say, hey, what can we do? I mean, I know you gave away the free, you know, 90 days for take control and other stuff, but I didn't think to call you guys to ask for, you know, a break or anything.
So I think the people that had how do I want to put this? The people that had kind of mindfully operated and financially diligently operated their businesses were very good. Now, I was even in a position before where we decided to overinvest in our MSP and build out a massive office space with everything and all the bells and whistles so that we could differentiate and operate an even, you know, better business and, you know, had certain things struck during that time, we could have been in a difficult situation. So some companies and some partners came and asked for assistance, and we provided assistance through a variety of manners, depending on the situation, depending on the partner, depending on the impact to their business. So, you know, we always said that we were here to support people, and we tried to be as creative and considerate as possible with everybody that came forward. So whether that was in, you know, authorizing some downgrades that they no longer needed access to, whether that was deferring payments, whether that was offering assistance to get some other government funding and grant funding that they had access to. We did a whole bunch of different things to help our partners out.
Okay. So this is probably a backdoor way into a discussion that we probably should be having about, you know, what types of things are actually driving the managed services market right now? Because, you know, in some senses, we talked about price versus value, but what do you guys see as what's driving the market, and, you know, aside from COVID-19?
So I think, obviously, price versus value is one thing. I mean, it's a very commoditized space.
Right.
So if I look at it, there's a few different angles you could look at it from. There's the angle of what's driving growth in that market. And that's, you know, overall business and small and medium-sized business markets dependency and growing dependency on technology, and with the continued adoption of cloud services and software as a service solutions and things like that. Yes, for MSPs, the, you know, big bang, big buck sales of servers and licensing and all that stuff's gone away. But that necessity for the expertise on managing, securing, and almost integrating and administering all of these different solutions is ever more important. So I think the growing dependency on cloud and technology solutions by the SMB market is driving the MSP market right now. Also, the awareness and the curve, the steep curve and incline of awareness around security and risk that's out there is driving a lot of opportunity for MSPs right now. When I think about what is differentiating MSPs the most and across the MSPs that I talk with on a regular basis, so the ones that are growing faster and some of the ones that are staying static or maybe shrinking a little bit, the biggest driver right now is customer experience and the focus on that. So surprisingly, it's not adding in 100 more services and products to resell, and it's not adding on 100 more clients in a year or any of those sorts of things. It's literally been a focus on driving and providing such an Excel level of experience that's not just in the support. It's not just how fast you respond. It's not how quickly things get solved. It's everything along the way, from their experience of how they actually request support to what your regular reviews are with them, what your relationship is like with them, how you invoice and bill them, what the experience is like in the ease of paying you or understanding your invoicing. All of those things come into play. And the reason that that's driving them so much is because consumers at large will pay more for a better experience. And there's a lot of research out there that's showing that the value that a consumer or a customer places on the experience they have with somebody is very quickly reaching parity and equity with the value of the actual service you're delivering or the product that they're buying. So if you deliver a service that saves them 10 or 20 hours a month or $1,000 a month, that they will equate to how good is it to deal with your business? How responsive do I feel you are? How engaged with you do I feel? And so that's something that's really interesting that people are cluing into. And the MSPs that have jumped on that train and become a very customer first focused mentality, they're growing at leaps and bounds beyond the other people right now.
All right. So moving away from what does it mean for me in terms of, you know, what's my cost, what's my margin, how much can I automate? You know, those are usually the things that companies like mine start with first. How do you move people from that mindset to this customer focused mindset? Because they're going to come to you and say, look, you're, you know, I just need an RMM at the cheapest price.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
So I think there's a few things, right? A lot of, you know, whether you're an MSP or you're an MSP vendor, there you have the base level table stakes of what you need to offer and deliver in order to be in business. And there's a whole bunch of companies on the vendor side that do a lot of the things that we do. And there's going to be pros and cons to all of them on the product side. And as an MSP, you're going to have anywhere from 20 to 200 competitors in your local area, maybe even more, that all offer remote monitoring, that all offer patch management, that all offer some level of security service. How are you going to differentiate? Because if all you're doing is playing catch up all the time or leapfrogging on this service and somebody else offers that service, there's no true way for you to get ahead and maintain where you're at. And so there's a lot of things that you can do to really impact and be on that relationship side of the business and informing and establishing and then maintaining trust between those you and your client or customer organizations. So on the SolarWinds side, we institute a whole bunch of programs. I mean, we've got our MSP Institute, which we continue to pump new content out all the time and training materials to help on business advice, on sales and marketing, training and coaching. We have a heavy investment in partner enablement materials for white labeled flyers and decks and video, like all of these things that you need to go to market with. We have our head nerds that we put together, which are these industry and subject matter experts to help support and counsel and advise MSPs on various topics. We have our team of customer success managers who are not salespeople. They're not sales account managers. They're no quota whatsoever, but simply to be checking in with our partners and having conversations with them to understand what's going on in their business and making advice and suggestions of areas to look at and things to consider. And so those are all things that you can implement. And as an MSP, I mean, there's lunch and learns, there's quick tips, there's customer appreciation. Like, when's the last time as an MSP you sent a card and a little gift to the main point of contact on the anniversary date of your clients, like your contracts, right? Those are the things that make you stand out. That makes them feel valued. That makes it feel like there's actually a partnership here. And it's not just another, you know, however many dollars every month or another X number of users, but that there's actually a connection there.
Okay. So you're saying I should tell my gatekeeper that if somebody calls from SolarWinds, that's not my account manager. They may be one of these success reps and let them through.
Yeah, absolutely. At least take the call. You can hang up if they say, hey, I've got something to sell you.
All right. So you've mentioned, I have a bunch of points, but I want to get to this because you've mentioned this twice, head nerds.
Yep.
That's been a big push for you guys. That's, I'm assuming it's new, right?
Yeah. So I'm trying to think. We announced them earlier this year. So we put together the, we'll call it a program, but it's a team of people. So we've got head nerds across automation, operational and technician efficiency, data protection, and security. And so we've got this team of experts that are heavily focused on the subject matters, whether it's data protection on-premise in the cloud, cloud to cloud, whether it's on security and the various attack vectors and things to be considerate of, and how to advise and counsel on a layered security approach to what the key things are you should be focusing for efficiency in your business, and how you can drive efficiency in the admin and operations side, how you can drive efficiency in the service delivery side, and then through to automation, where our automation head nerd will do everything from, you know, having one-on-ones with our partners and helping them take their automation game to the next level with our tools, make and help foster and create new scripts to solve issues and key pains for partners, and just continue to drive the automation culture within our partners' business and the overall community.
Now, are these people that work for SolarWinds, or are these like top MSPs who are offering to help?
So they're all SolarWinds employees. They've come from different walks of life in different industries. Some have been focused at cybersecurity software companies, like our security head nerd. Our automation head nerd was a champion for automation in a major company for a long time. Our operational and tech efficiency nerd had and ran an MSP himself. So it's really a focus on bringing industry level expertise in on those topics, kind of having them and making them focused and dedicated to us so that they're always available to our partners. And, they hold boot camps on their topics to take partners through and train and up level them across the categories that they're in. They do and hold open office hours where people can call in and join open discussions with them to ask any questions, get advice. They're really the resource out there for our partners.
All right. So I see a lot of that is on the website for upcoming events, upcoming webinars, and all of that. But if somebody wanted to, and I'm just speaking for me because I use SolarWinds, if I wanted to get in touch with a head nerd to help me with automation, how would I do that?
So if you go to the Customer Success Center, you can go in through the head nerds. The contact information for all the nerds should be in there. You can also find most of them on Twitter. I think at least their Twitter stuff is on there. I don't have them all memorized myself. I do follow them, though. And you can reach out to them, whether it's email or LinkedIn or Twitter or just sending a message through the Customer Success Center, and they'll engage back with you and set things up and help you out.
All right. I really got to get into that Customer Success Center more.
It's a wealth of information.
All right. Let's see. I think I've asked all the questions that popped into my head. So is there any other news coming down the pike, or is there anything that we've missed that you guys have introduced? I mean, I can tell you what, I've seen some changes in the dashboard.
Yeah. No, we've done a lot of things. We did hold as I mentioned earlier, we held an all-partners meeting where we gave a big business update from our whole executive team,
right.
Walked through some things, did some demo of some new things coming down the pipe product-wise. If you haven't seen that and you're a partner, reach out to your account manager and they can get you access to the recording of that to watch. And stay tuned with us. We've got a ton of things coming up. You'll see some virtual regional road shows getting announced and stuff where we can engage with you and have some partner delivered and your peers delivering a lot of content and educational content. So, looking forward to continuing to drive some engagement with the community and help you guys be as successful as you can be.
All right. Well, I'm going to remember that. And just to note, I did not lose your phone number. Actually, I didn't have yours. I had Dave's, and Dave left. So, but Carla, just a big shout out to her. Thank you, Carla, for getting us in touch and back on track, and get you guys back on here more. And as things come up, we'll definitely be sharing.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Thanks, Marvin.
All right. Folks, Colin Knotts, head of community engagement at SolarWinds. And hopefully we'll be hearing more from him, and you will see he's all over the channel, folks, everywhere. It's webinars, blog posts. Are you an author? Did I see that somewhere in my
research? I've done so many things over time. I've got no actual published books that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay.
So no.
That you're aware of. Somebody's making money off your name.
Maybe. Who knows? Good for them.
All right. And all right, that's going to do it, folks. Head over to SolarWindsMSP.com if you are not yet signed up for what I think is it's a pretty good product. I use SolarWinds. I haven't had any inclination to move away, so just so that you're aware of that. And Colin Knotts, hopefully we'll have him back soon. And again, I'll have links in the show notes to the resources that we talked about. If you're a partner already, be sure to look into the Customer Success Center. For others of you, you can get to the COVID resource page without signing in. So even if you're not a SolarWinds customer, you can go and take advantage of those. Look at the webinars, the white pages, all of that stuff. So that's going to do it. Colin, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank you.
That's going to do it for this episode of Podnuts Pro, everybody. Be sure to head over to podnuts.com to check out all the other great shows over there, not just Podnuts Pro, Android App Addicts, and others. You can listen to previous shows, and you can help support some of our vendors that help keep the network going. I am going to be back real soon with another great episode. I hope you will join me then. But until then, holla.